How about we turn to 1 Corinthians 13? And we'll have a Bible reading. We'll start at verse 1. Making our way down to verse 8. Starting at verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And we'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the day, and Lord, as we stop and consider your word this morning, pray that, Lord, you will be the one at work in our heart and our minds, and that, Father, we would see you, Lord, see your wonderful love for us, and that we enjoy every day of our life, and then, Lord, see how this is the love you want us to show one another as well. And so we pray that you would be at work, and you would be our teacher this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were here and you can remember 2 weeks ago, started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what I called God's checklist of love. Now, I'm not losing my voice, I just got something in my throat. Sorry. That might help. And in the God's checklist of love, we're able to see if we're acting in a loving way towards one another. And here, Paul was actually showing the church at Corinth how they would be treating each other if they truly loved each other the way that Christ loved them and the way that Christ wanted them to be loving. And if they had a genuine love for Christ, it would be seen by their genuine love for others, and that would be seen by that practical way that they treated one another. Not some hairy fairy thing up in the sky or some gooey feeling inside. It would be how they acted in that practical way, everyday life stuff. And he said, this is how you know if you're loving each other the way that God wants you to. And last time we looked at six things. Six ways we will act if we have a genuine love for others. And we saw last time that we will, if we do have a genuine love for each other, we will be long-suffering. And we saw how that means it will take a long time to get to that point of wrath, or it may even be an explosion. And we saw how the opposite to that would be an example we saw with the balloon. Balloons are not long-suffering. The littlest prick and there will be an explosion. Where someone who is long-suffering will be quite the opposite. I was thinking I should have got two balloons. There's this trick you can do with sticky tape and you could have put a pin in it and it doesn't pop. And you could see this one is long-suffering. I could have put pins everywhere and it didn't pop. But I only thought of it this morning. But anyway, that's what long-suffering is, someone who takes a long time to get that point of popping, so to speak. I wonder how much popping there's been in your household over the last 2 weeks, or have you been long-suffering? Well, also we saw that love is kind, where you'll help someone for no other reason than the fact that you just want to be nice to them. There's no ulterior motive, you just want to be kind and nice. Well, that's how love acts. Love envieth not, where you won't be wanting what others have or wishing you had something instead of them. Also, love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up, where we see that you won't brag about yourself And then we saw that other side is not puffed up, where you won't go around thinking that you're better than everybody else as well. Also, love doth not behave itself unseemly, where you won't be crude and rude and disrespectful around others. And so these are the six that we've seen so far. And we're going to continue to look at what genuine love truly is, to see how we match up to God's standards. Now, I don't know how we got through six last week, and we're only going to get through two this week. All right? It's either a short message or I got a lot to say. So I'm not going to say which one it is yet. We'll see what happens at the end. But we see there in verse 5, if we're reading on, we saw love did not, it doth not behave itself unseemly. And then it says, seeketh not her own. And so love does not seek her own. That means, or it doesn't mean that you don't have any care or consideration for yourself. That's one thing we need to make very clear. You know, there is a certain amount of responsibility of care that we're to show ourselves instead of relying on everyone else to do things for you. All right, so it's not like I just don't care about myself at all and I'm going to let everyone else do things for me. Now, that's not loving either. But what it does mean is you consider others before yourself. They come first. I was trying to think of an example of this, and I can think of an example of when this isn't what you should be doing. I thought of those times around Christmas, Boxing Day. You know, you see on the TV when there's those Boxing Day sales, and everyone's lined up at the doors waiting for the doors to be opened, and then they finally open the door, and everyone is running, and they're pushing and shoving, and they're knocking people out of the way, and everyone wants to be first to get to that item that's on sale. Well, they're seeking their own when they're doing that. I've never seen anyone be at the front. They got there early, and then when the doors open, they go, well, I won't think of myself. Everyone else can go past, and you can get it all first, and if there's anything left over, well, then I'll have it. No one does that. You know, but love seeketh not her own. And a commentator explained it this way. He said, the phrase seeketh not her own means we will consider the needs of others and their weaknesses and concerns before we act or before we speak. And that's true. If you love someone, you won't just be thinking about yourself and not care if what you do hurts them or affects them. In fact, it'll go even further. If I know something is going to hurt that person or affect them in some way, I will choose not to do it for their benefit. That's what you do when you truly love someone. And the believers at Corinth, as you read through this epistle, you discover they were acting the complete opposite to this. All throughout this epistle, as we've been going through it, we've seen how selfish they have been, where they thought of themselves before others. You know, we know with the issue of meat that had been offered to idols, when they would go and in their city, they would offer up meat to idols, and then because there was such a leftover, that would be sold by the priests of that temple in the marketplace. And some of the Christians, because they had come out of idol worship, they would look at that meat and think, I can't go near that stuff now that has been offered to an idol. It's too, it grates against my conscience. I can't bear that. While other Christians, they didn't care any less about it. It's just meat. It's not going to hurt them. And we saw that there were many, they would go and eat that meat. They would even offer it to other Christians there. They would have it as a part of their meal, maybe when others were over that had a problem with it. And they didn't care how it was affecting others. They only thought of themselves instead of their fellow brethren in Christ. Paul says, love seeketh not her own. You think of others first. You know, we saw at that love feast, which is a bit like our fellowship lunch, where the rich were getting there first and they were eating all the food because they didn't want to share it with the poor people who couldn't bring anything. Or the poor people had to sit back and watch others eat where they didn't get to eat. And that is another example of how they were only thinking of themselves rather than thinking about everybody. How could you sit there and eat food knowing there are poor people that couldn't provide anything and they're probably hungry and you sit there and eat in front of them? Now that is really thinking of yourself rather than others. And that's what was taking place in this church. They were acting in a very unloving way, which I might add is the complete opposite to how God acts. You know, we need to rejoice in the fact that He doesn't act like this towards us. He thinks of us before Himself. And that's a blessing. You know, often we think it's the other way around. We think, mate, I have had to miss out on so much so that I can please God. There are so many things I'd love to be doing or I could be doing, but God says not to do it, so I am giving up all these things for God. Thinking it's the other way around. When in the reality is, God has given up and He continues to give up so many things for our benefit. You know, the fact that He was willing to send His Son shows us this. It was well within His rights to keep Him in heaven and not allow Him to go through that sorrow and allow us to bear the punishment for our own sin. But we are told what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He thought of us and our need instead of His own. I'm sure Jesus was well within His right to say, I'm not going. But He thought of us before Himself. We know that when He was upon the earth, Jesus often, He was tired. He deserved a rest many a times. But then others would turn up and seeking help in one way or another. And we see time after time He chose to think of them instead of Himself. We know that when He was upon the cross, hanging there being ridiculed by most people and suffering the pain, He was within His right to just say, nope, I'm going back to heaven. He could have stopped that at any time he wanted, but He chose to remain there, suffer the punishment for our benefit, not His own. And these actions reveal how much God really does love us. And we can be very sure that that's how He continues to act towards us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reality is every day, every moment of the day, God is at work doing what is best for you and for me. And He is willing to give up so much for our benefit as well. And so this is how God acts towards us, and this is how He wants us to be acting towards each other. Our love is to be such that before we do something, before we say something, before we decide something, we consider how is this going to affect others first. How often do you have that attitude where you think, well, I may like doing this, but is it going to hurt others? Or I might think there's nothing wrong with doing this, but if I do it, am I going to hurt a lot of other people in the process? You know, that often doesn't come into our mind, and that just shows how selfish we are instead of how loving we are. You know, we know that we have lots of rights, and we have the liberty to be able to enjoy many things in this world. But do we have the attitude before that even if I have the right and the liberty to do it, if it's going to offend someone, if it's going to cause someone to be tempted to sin, I won't do it. For their benefit. You know, this attitude doesn't fit very well with people today because our generation boldly proclaims that we have rights and we have liberties and no one should impose on these rights and liberties. And sadly, that's the opposite to how God thinks. And when you start doing things the opposite the way God thinks, that's when things start to fall apart in a civilization. You know, that's why, sadly, today a woman can kill a baby in a womb if she doesn't want it. Why? Because she has a right to her own body. Now, as much as someone has the right to their own body, if someone has a love like Christ loves, they will consider that life of that unborn baby before themselves. and realize they have a right to live as well and a right to have a life as well. And so they will put that person before their own wishes. And that can go through with just about every little thing in life. If we love each other the same way Christ loves us, we won't be seeking our own desires first. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 8, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." You know, in this issue of eating meat that had been offered to idols, Paul's attitude was, well, if eating that meat that had been offered to idols is going to cause my brother to be offended, well, then I choose not to eat meat. I won't go near that meat if that's what is needed. He thought of others, his brothers and sisters in Christ, before himself. And if we have a genuine love for each other, that will be our attitude as well. That means if you are aware that the way you speak offends people, you will want to change how you speak. Because you love that person, you don't want to hurt them. If you're aware that the way that you dress causes someone to be tempted to sin, you'll be willing to change how you dress. Because you love that person, you don't want to cause any harm in that way. If you're aware that the way that you act or the places you go is a bad influence on others, well, then you won't do those things because you love them so much you don't want to be a bad influence on them. If we love each other the way Christ has commanded us to, there is no way we're going to say, well, blow them. If they got a problem, that's their problem. But I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. Now, it's the complete opposite because love seeks not our own. How often do you have that attitude? Who cares what others think? Who cares what others say? I'm going to do what I want anyway. Well, that's the opposite of how God acts. Praise to Him. That's the case. And we ought to be showing that to one another as well. And so that's the first thing. The second one is not easily provoked. When we have a sincere and genuine love for someone, we will not be easily provoked. Now, at first I thought, what is the difference between long-suffering, taking a long time to get to that point of wrath, and not being easily provoked? But there is a difference. To be easily provoked means to be easily stirred up. Or easily irritated, easily provoked. And the difference between the two are, if you are long-suffering, you will take a long time to get to that point of wrath, where there is like an explosion, so to speak. You'll take a long time to get to that. But if you are not easily provoked, it means you won't always be getting irritated by people. You won't be always getting stirred up. Someone who is easily provoked may never explode with wrath, but they will always be easily irritated. There is a difference. You know when someone has got to that point of wrath, there's that but you often don't know when someone is easily provoked. It's bubbling away on the inside where they're easily irritated by others. You know, the word that's used here in 1 Corinthians 13 is only used one other place in the New Testament. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. Here it is translated stirred. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16 it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him," that's the word, "when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." He was waiting for his fellow brethren to arrive. there at Athens, and he walked around the city and he saw how they had an idol for just about everyone, and they worshipped so many idols. And as he heard them speak and as he saw their actions, it says that he was stirred within his soul. He was irritated by what he saw, to the point that it motivated him to go to the marketplace and start telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and the only God. And so he was stirred within. Now, on this occasion, I don't believe that that's a sinful thing. And there are many times that we can be stirred within our soul, and it's not sinful. You know, when I hear someone make fun about the Lord Jesus Christ, I am provoked. I'm stirred. When I hear someone tell lies about him, I get that stirring within. When I hear someone tell lies to others that you can just be good to get to heaven, or you do these certain things and you get to heaven, they give people false hope and they live a life believing a lie, that makes me angry as well. That stirs me within. I would suggest that when Jesus went to the temple and he saw people making money out of that place, and it turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves, and they weren't worshipping God the way they ought to be, I dare say Jesus was stirred within, just like the Apostle Paul was. And there are many things that may stir us that aren't necessarily sinful, but the Holy Spirit chose to use this word here in chapter 13 to explain how we shouldn't be acting with each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We shouldn't be getting easily stirred with one another. Now that's different. Can I ask you, do you find that often you come along to church and you feel so good inside, but you go home feeling irritated? That person did that and that person said that. You come to church in a good state, but you go home irritated. Does that happen? Well, God says that if you love people here as He loves them, that won't happen very easily. And if you are someone who's easily provoked and you get upset over, you may not think it's slight, but others may consider it a slight thing, that says more about you than the people you get irritated by. Have you ever thought of it that way? It says more about you than the person. It shows a lack of love for them. You know, isn't it true? You can see some children do something and you think it's cute, and then you see other children do the same thing and it irritates you. Have you ever realized that that shows more about you and your lack of love for that child than anything else? Isn't it true that some people can say something and everyone laughs and thinks it's great, then others can say something similar and you get irritated by it? Have you ever thought that shows more about your lack of love for them than anything else? You know, some can come to church and they go home encouraged by the people here, while others come to church and spend time with the same people and they go home irritated. Why is that the case? Could it be that it shows more about you than it does to the people here? It shows a lack of love for those people, while others don't have that lack of love. You know, sadly, there are too many believers like this. You may not have the explosions, but there sure is a lot of stirring going on the inside, and they're irritated with so many things that people do. And if you can unlock their brain or just give them a little dose of something to tell you the truth about what they're actually thinking about people, you'd find that they're irritated with a lot of people. Why? Well, different reasons. Well, that person, you know, they didn't invite me over, even though they invited lots of other people over. That really irritated me. You know, that person, well, they looked at me the wrong way. I'm sure they got something wrong with me. So that upsets you. Someone said something very hurtful to me. Really stirred me on the inside. That person, well, they just don't agree with me about this, so that really irritates me as well. And that person, well, they comb their hair this weird way. It really irritates me the way that they comb their hair like that. And that person, have you seen the way they sit at church? They sit like this. It really irritates me the way they sit like that. That person, they certainly don't look after their children the way they ought to be. Boy, that irritates me. Now, I could go on, and I'm not making these things up. All right? I think I've heard all of them at some time. And if you find that everyone has stirred you up and provoked you for some reason, quite possibly you're the one with the problem. Those that walk around getting irritated by people often think that everyone else is unloving. Little do they realize that they are the one who's unloving. They aren't loving the person or those people the way that they ought to be loving. Otherwise, it wouldn't be noticed or it wouldn't be causing a problem, because God says that someone who loves someone else is not easily provoked. You know, the Lord said in 1 Peter 4:8, "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, "among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." God says to fervently love one another. Why? Because when you have a fervent, genuine love for someone, it's amazing how that love can cover so many of those things that generally would cause an offense. And God says that if you love each other the way that He loves us, when someone even sins against you, that is not going to have a major effect on you. In fact, your love for them can just seem to smooth all that over. And you won't go around irritated and angry with so many people. And I can't help but think the Lord's given us an example of this in the animal kingdom. Not just how to act, but also how we shouldn't act. You know, I don't know if you ever watched one of those documentaries on a lioness. It amazes me how these killing machines can be lying down in the shade with their cubs. And the cubs, they have no fear of their mother. They jump on her back and they're running around her back, and they'll get a tail and they'll start chewing on a tail, and then those paws that can often just rip animals apart, they're chewing on the paws and playing with them, and they're forever harassing her. And she just lies there and takes it. And those cubs think that she must be the most gentle thing in the world. My mum, the big teddy bear, you know. Isn't she such a loving, soft, patient mum? And they could almost chew her to death, and she doesn't seem to get angry or upset. To her cubs, she is not easily provoked. Okay? There's a God-given instinct for her to care for her cubs. And that's how we should be. You know, people may poke us and prod us and pull at us and harass us, but we patiently take it. Why? Because we have a God-given love for those people. That's what it means to not being easily provoked. You know, sadly for the rest of those animals in that kingdom where the lioness is, they don't enjoy the same type of patience as what the cubs do. In fact, she is very easily provoked by every other animal. To anyone else, she's happy to tear them apart at the slightest annoyance. And that's where the difference is. She is ever so patient with the cubs, but she is very easily provoked by anybody else. And when it comes to how we act towards each other, sometimes I think we're too much like the lioness in this way instead. You know, we can be so patient, so understanding. We can overlook so many things from our family and from our children. They can harass us. They can do lots of annoying things and we think nothing of it. Often we don't even notice it. They just go unnoticed. And they can even hurt us and we so easily let it go. It often takes something big to provoke us to anger in that way. just like the lioness. But we don't show the same type of patience to others, even in the house of God. When it comes to the family of God, we can get so stirred up at the slightest little thing. We can go get so irritated by everyone's little mannerisms, and it frustrates us to no end. And we react, we hold on to every little thing that a person does, and we don't act in a godly manner. And although to, say, our children or to our family, we seem like that cuddly, loving lioness, to those outside our family, they think we're very different. You go and speak to any other animal in the animal kingdom, and they won't think that that lioness is very patient, slow to anger, but their cubs do. And when a person is like this, and it's obvious that there is a different set of rules for their family to anybody else, all that really does is show who they really love. And if you have a different set of rules to your family than other people, it just shows who you really love. If you don't even have those rules for your family, it shows you don't love your family the way you should. That's even worse. But if you've got one set for your family and another set of rules for others, that shows you're not showing the type of love that Christ wants you to be showing. With those we love, we won't be easily provoked. But we will be easily provoked by those we don't love. Even though God says we're to be showing this love to all. You know, we should be like that lioness. Even when people overstep the mark, even when people say no to us when we think it should be yes, even when children act like children and they're not kind to everyone and they're not always happy, we should be showing that love, that same love that God wants us to show to all. So I end with this question. Are you easily provoked by others here? Or maybe they aren't the problem. Maybe it just shows you have a problem. You need to grow in your love so it's Christ-like, so that you will have that same genuine love that He has for them. I think you're doing well not to be challenged with that. I know I was as I was preparing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. Lord, we thank You that You so long-suffering, You're not easily provoked towards us. You think of us instead of yourself every day. Lord, You are a good God. Thank You that for those who have You as their Savior, You have given us the Spirit of God so that we may love others the way that You have loved us. We know this is the way people will know that we are truly Your disciples. I pray that we would be genuinely showing these things. And not just showing it to others, but Lord, You will see that we have that genuine love within our soul. So that, Lord, above all, You may be glorified in our midst. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.